launching from an Etherport at RBN, cruising at light speed. Here's your host, Steve Starrs.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to, you know what the day is today, the total eclipse of the Sunday. And I'm glad to be along with you here. Thank you for joining all of us. What a great show we have lined up. Letting you know that Steve Elkins is here with me. He's going to be joining me. We're going to be talking about a lot of things. His program, Off the Beaten Path, on Sunday nights. I think it runs 5 to 7 my time. That would be 7 to 9 Eastern, if I'm correct. But Steve, welcome to the show and the Total Eclipse of the Sun show day.
Yeah, I hear Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and the other deplorables are telling Republicans only, don't use eye protection, just look up at the eclipse and then take it in and enjoy it. Stare directly at the eclipse. Don't worry about the eye protection. You'll be okay.
Yeah. Well, that's Nancy for you. You know, I've seen the eclipse. I saw the last one in 2017 in Torrington, Wyoming. It was quite beautiful. I was amazed at how beautiful it was. You know, you see these pictures on television. Of course, people out there right now are seeing exactly what I'm talking about, and it is just amazing. What you see on television looks like it's something right out of hell. You know what I mean? We have this yellow burning fire, but that's not what you actually see in real life. The sky turns a very, very kind of a dark evening blue. You can see the stars. And when the sun is totally eclipsed, you see the corona, and it looks like angels' wings. It's just beautiful. I was so shocked. It was so pretty. It didn't scare me. It wasn't ugly. It was beautiful. It just something I really wish I could have seen this one as well. I made plans. Today is my stepdaughter's birthday, and I was going to try to take her up to see her grandma in Ohio and watch the eclipse there, but we couldn't make it, you know. But we're having a good time here today, and I am glad to have you along. We got a lot of other stuff to talk about. If you're not watching the eclipse, that's okay. It's only going to last for about 3 minutes or 3.5 minutes, I think, at its total length. But it is something to see once in your life, I think. Have you ever seen one, Steve?
Yes, as a child somewhere along the way. I remember my mother having smoked glass, and look through the smoked glass, you can watch it. Yeah, I was a kid.
Yeah, right. It's pretty, it's something else. It really is something beautiful to see. But, you know, people have these fears, I guess, or whatever that wording would be, about how they feel these things have sights and their signs. And, you know, to me, they're just natural phenomena. You know, I try not to look too deep at it. Some people seem to think there are a lot of things pertaining to this. Now, since we just came out of Easter, or the resurrection, as I call it, weekend, recall that the sun went dark for about 3.5 hours or longer there while the crucifixion was taking place. That wasn't an eclipse, friends. It wasn't an eclipse. No, they don't last that long. Not only that, but the sun would be on the other side of the sky from the moon because it was during the Passover time. But that was a real sign there that wasn't explained by natural phenomena. So, you know, just to start that off. But anyway, we got a lot to talk about, and a lot of people are not watching the eclipse, and we're glad that you are if you are seeing it, but you're probably not listening to us anyway. So we'll just cut them out of the conversation. What do you think, Steve?
Well, you know, it's funny that, this is a natural event. I don't know if anybody's actually tried to point to biblical times, revelations or anything like that, to say the eclipse, it's the timing. And it's something the end times. I haven't heard anybody talk this kind of talk. So I agree with you. It is a natural phenomenon. We get to witness once in a lifetime, probably twice in our lifetime. But, you know, I haven't heard anybody say, well, I think these are end times. This is what it means. I haven't heard anybody talk that way.
Yeah, you know, there was a very mysterious sign that took place after the eclipse when I was in Torrington, Wyoming. That was 250,000 to 300,000 cars on a two-lane highway traveling about 80 to 90 miles, and it was at a snail's pace, friends. You know, I mean, I saw that coming. I actually knew. I could have predicted that. As a matter of fact, I did. And my son with his satellite phone and his geopositioning got us located out on a road I didn't plan on taking, because I had actually read the map. You know what I mean? I said, I don't want to go that way. I know what's going to happen here. And we ended up in Torrington, Wyoming, instead of at the the car hinge in Nebraska. You know what I mean? You've seen that stone bridge made out stone hinge made out of cars. That's where we wanted to watch it. And I was going to avoid all that traffic because I knew it was going to be there. Well, it ended up we were caught in the middle of it. And it was about took about maybe 6 hours to make an hour and a half trip. But I actually knew a shortcut and got us out of there fast enough. And we ended up going back to the highway, the original plan. Anyway, I don't know why I'm talking about that stuff. It's not that important to anybody. But yes, that was a prediction about the eclipse that did come true. We were going to be in one damn mess of a traffic jam trying to get home. And that happened.
One question before you get into what you got planned for today. Have you heard any more information, anything at all, about the Georgia Guidestones, Steve?
Well, they were exploded or destroyed by somebody, of course, and we don't know who it was. No one's ever taken credit, I think. I think a lot of people have, I remember when hearing about them many years ago when they were first erected, nobody really knew who set them up. They suspected Ted Turner had something to do with it. But that's about it. You know, they were another one of these bold statements made by these very dangerous people who are megalomaniacs, and they're, you know how they are, Steve. You know, I mean,
FBI just pretty much washed over this one. The FBI was supposed to be on top of it. We're going to get our man, find somebody who did this. Who did this? I mean, if they can blow up Guidestones, what else can they blow up? You think about that. So, again, one of those situations that was just pretty much passed by our own FBI.
Right. Yes, and there's so many things to talk about. I know, you know, Steve and I were talking off the air a little bit about what we wanted to talk about. Now, I wanted to get into this, what's coming down with the new avian flu, friends. Oh, by the way, I my show may be eclipsed a little bit about my little dog is sick here. So he's having a trouble. Pray for him. You know, he ate something and you can hear him kind of, he's in my lap and he's not feeling good. But anyhow, go ahead, Steve. Let's talk a little bit about the bridge fiasco. Fiascos, plural, because there's two of them now, one in, on the Arkansas River as long, and also the Francis Scott Key Bridge out there near Baltimore. So, it does look suspicious. There are some questions as to what's really going on. Cyber hacks. I don't know if it was mechanical sabotage or something. It was possibly arranged and set up by the people who, you know, destroy these kinds of things via cyber misguidance and power misadjustments and steering malfunctions and whatever. What do you think?
Well, we were warned. Remember, there's always a warning of what's coming. And at least a month and a half ago, we were told for some reason the mainstream media started to spin the story of coming through the Pentagon or coming through Washington saying there was going to be a cyber attack. We were being told a cyber attack is coming. Yeah. And then, you know, these things are always happening. We have these exercises, they plan out, they happen, and suddenly we get a real, real tragedy here, an attack on America. And so I looked this whole situation up quite a bit last night. We got to it at the end of my show. We started to open the door on this one here, really get into it, and then the show ended. So I hope to pick up back on next Sunday. But, you know, I started looking at some things. You know, this I was trying to find out the base of where this ship came from, the Dahlia or Dala. Where it came from, and it must have been 1,000, 2,000 miles away, the base, and if for some reason it could have had trouble on the open seas anytime, losing power or whatever happened there, and it didn't happen on the open seas of 2,000 miles, let's say 2,000 miles. It was quite a bit from the base where it came from, and so it doesn't happen on the open seas. It happens right when it gets in the harbor near the bridge. So I got to say right there, right off the bat, what an amazing thing to happen. It didn't happen on the open seas. It happened right when you get in the harbor next to a bridge. I just don't believe that's a possibility. I think using some logic here that the system was hacked. Laura Logan talked about it with Steve Bannon the other day and Charlie Kirk telling us that the GPS global positioning system is hackable. It is hackable just like your Wi-Fi is hackable, just like Bluetooth is hackable. And I mentioned last night, even that doorbell ring camera is hackable. Believe it or not, that thing is hackable. Somebody can turn it off and then rob you, basically from one of those porch pirate things. So understanding these things that were created, but they're also always built with a back door in it. For some reason, somebody has decided to always leave a back door of vulnerability that somebody can get in and change things. I'm starting to think that this thing definitely it's been hacked. The system was hacked, and it simply, you know, malfunctioned, and it took it out, and suddenly, boom, hits the bridge and takes the bridge out. That's the only thing that makes, you know, makes sense, Steve, because it could have happened anywhere on the open seas, but it didn't. It happened right as it pulls in to the bridge.
Yeah, it was kind of suspicious, as you can tell.
Yeah.
There was a huge plume of black smoke, which may have indicated that there was a power outage and then the generators kicked on or something.
Right.
But it looked as though the navigation went haywire right there at the end. They were getting ready to turn, and all of a sudden it looked like they almost turned too sharp and couldn't correct, and then smacked into the pylons there. I don't know what happened on the Arkansas incident, but it appears to be something very similar. And two of these, and within a week, I think, makes some very, very kind of interesting questions to be asked about what's happening here. So, yes, these things could have had a lot to do with a cyber attack of some sort that could have either shorted the power, or perhaps misappropriated the power, or fooled with the navigation to some extent. It's hard to say. These are the kinds of things that they're going to want to keep doing. I mean, the world of cyber attacks is huge. There's no question about what's happening.
Oh, yeah.
And even Klaus Schwab has told us that there's going to be a cyber attacks that will eclipse, not to use the word too often today, but that will basically be even much more drastic than the germ scares that they're trying to hoist on us. And they got another one coming out pretty quick. We're going to get into that. Friends, they are, this is as of March 14th, I think it was, this latest proclamation coming from the World Economic Forum about what their plans are for the new bird flu. You might remember years ago they had H1N1. Remember that?
Right.
What a terrible, terrible thing it was. Actually, it turned out to be a complete fraud. The whole thing was a complete fraud. This was in 2009. This is how short the American public's memory is. 2009, we had the H1N1. But you know the reason why, Steve, people don't remember that is because the news media never really reported the story about it. Cheryl Atkinson was a star investigative reporter for CBS, and she began to look into the numbers on the H1N1, and she found out that the CDC didn't have any. And she was asking, where are these numbers? And they hadn't really compiled them, or they were in the process, or whatever the excuse. So she went to the states, and she began to find out what the states were reporting. She went around and collected information for just about all of them. And the states were saying, well, this isn't a bird flu. And as a matter of fact, we don't even have a flu problem here, you know, and a few other places. She had discovered that this whole thing was a fraud, and she had posted her story on CBS News website, and they printed it, of course, and this was going to go on air. And very shortly before she went on air to tell everybody that the H1N1 fraud was exactly that. There was no H1N1 virus that was caused, virus so-called, having anything to do with this disease. There wasn't anything going on. Some of it was just regular flu, and some of it wasn't flu at all. And CBS television refused to air that program, and they took the site down from CBS. And that's when Cheryl Atkinson said, I think I am going to find another place to work, and she left the network. Just like Tucker Carlson, she said, that's enough. So, anyhow, I didn't mean to get into that too deep, but now they have H5N1 or H5N8, depending on what they're going to call it. And this seems to be the next weapon of fraud choice that they're going to hoist on the American public. We'll get into that in a little bit. The ramifications of it, of course, are very real. People are already masking up again. Masking up, yes. Oh, I don't want to get they have one, I think it's one patient right now with H1 or H5N1 is what they're going to call it this time. But anyhow, Steve, you've seen it before. You've seen this kind of thing. Do you remember any of that?
Yeah, I do. I remember a little bit of the mainstream media running with it as it was a terrible, terrible thing, and they quickly became silent on it because it did not materialize. And it didn't grab headlines anymore because the hospitals were not full of people dying from this, and so then they couldn't milk it for any more than that, and they quickly distanced themselves from that story because, again, they have a credibility issue problem anyway. And so here they build something up that really exists, and it does not exist, and they have to kind of walk away from it and go on to some other crisis they have to invent, no doubt about it. And getting back to the the bridge with the Francis Scott Key Bridge here, the red flags on that. I mean, what a great diversion away from Joe Biden's problems and Hunter Biden's problems now. You know, the mainstream media can go after that. And I was quite interested, found it quite interesting that the FBI immediately came back without any really, really investigation of this situation, has already come back and said, it's not a terrorist attack. There's no hacking. There's nothing like that at all. It's just human error or mechanical error. How could you possibly know that in such a short period of time? To me, it's a cover-up of something, and maybe it didn't fit the narrative right now to tell you that it was hacked and point a finger of blame to somebody else. But I'm seeing just the other day that Russia is getting blamed for the Havana syndrome now, and they are simply trying to interfere with the Russian plan in their war to win this war against Ukraine, and they're simply demonizing Russia as they always have. But it's something, again, do you have any proof to show, you know, to say this? No, it's just a gut feeling, you know. We believe it's true, and if we repeat it enough time, a lie becomes a truth. And there you go. It was just a great diversion away from Joe Biden, this bridge coming down.
Yeah, it is. And you know, that is sort of indicative of the fact that they don't want to investigate or come to the complete conclusion of actually what happened. They're going to have to give us some explanation, but I'm sure they will come up with something down the road after we've forgotten about it. You know, they're very good at coming up with explanations way after the fact. I think it took them 7 years to explain World Trade Center 7. You know, and yeah, and most people, do you remember how they finally showed us exactly what came about on that whole thing with when it would collapse at free fall speed that wasn't hit by an airplane? Of course, that's the most eye-opening revelation of the entire problem with 9/11, right. Is what happened to World Trade Center 7. People start there and start asking questions. And they came up with this incredibly stupid computer animation that didn't look like the video at all. Yep. This was NIST that did this, National Institutes of Standards and Technology, that came up with this lie. Hey, people forgot all about it. You know, the public's short memory is what we're saying, Steve. Yep. People don't remember these things. They don't remember the damn swine flu in 76.
No, I know.
You know, I mean, it's incredible.
Well, I'm just bothered by people who don't think for themselves and can be easily led away and something like that. I mean, think about it. They didn't have the excuse of an airplane hitting Building 7. They didn't have the excuse of JP4 jet fuel inside the building melting at high temperature to melt the beams. They didn't have any of that. They had an office fire that collapses World Trade Building number 7. That's impossible. It doesn't meet logic. It doesn't meet physics. It doesn't meet anything that you think just an office fire could burn. Paper, chairs, office equipment could burn to a high enough temperature to start buckling the steel beams and then collapse it on itself, a pancake-type situation here. It doesn't meet logic at all. But they knew that, and they quickly went on to something else or used what they always use to kookify somebody. You're a conspiracy theorist. You're a nut job, a conspiracy. No, I'm asking a logical question to something that doesn't make sense to me, and tell me, you know, scientifically how that would work, and then they won't answer the question. Again, they call you names, a conspiracy theorist, and when they walk away from that, they validate, really, there was a conspiracy here, because you won't answer a simple question. You choose to demonize me and call me a conspiracy theorist. Well, conspiracies really do take place. I watch Forensic Files all the time. I don't know if you've ever watched Forensic Files. Those are true conspiracies where people got caught. Through forensic science, they have been caught that they committed a conspiracy and were caught and thrown in prison. And so to say that there is no such thing as a conspiracy theory, Steve, would say that we have good, honest people all over the planet and nobody ever does anything bad and nobody does anything for their own good and to victimize others for their own good. That's not possible. We have a prison system with nearly a million people in prison who got caught in committing a conspiracy and were caught. So this whole idea that it's a nutty thing to say, something doesn't look right, you know, it doesn't
matter. Right on. Break time. Be right back. Stay with us.
Attention, freedom-loving patriots.
Are you ready to dive deep into the principles that founded our great nation? Join me, Peter Serafin, and the Institute on the Constitution as we light the way to a brighter future with the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. At liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom, you'll find a treasure trove of online courses on the U.S. Constitution, carefully crafted to empower you with knowledge to defend your rights and liberty. Whether you're a student, a history enthusiast, or just a concerned citizen, these courses are for you. Gain a comprehensive understanding of our Constitution's principles, the wisdom of our founding fathers, and how to apply them in today's world. As a special offer to our freedom-loving listeners of Republic Broadcasting Network, use coupon code RBN at checkout and get 20% discount on any course. Join the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom and be a part of the movement to uphold the values that have made our nation exceptional. Unleash the power of knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. Illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these 5 easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your 5 easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our 5 easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Hey, welcome back to the show. Right back into it. We're going to have, this is the special Eclipse show that we're doing here today. Steve Elkins is joining me, you know, Off the Beaten Path is his program. It runs here on Sunday nights on RBN. And doggone it, I wish that was a different time. I always end up eating sometime between 5 and 7. I miss a good portion of it, Steve, but it's a great show. I'll have to listen to the archives and follow up on it. And we're glad to have you as a part of really a kind of a cornerstone type person helping us keep the network going. I'm just a volunteer. I'm glad to be here. But Steve and I have been friends for quite some time, and we like working together. And you know, we really bounce off each other pretty well, I think, don't you?
Yeah. Still go back to the day we did the big interview for the ex Black Panther, the big man, Albert Howard. I still remember that so well.
It was a great interview, too. And oddly enough, his wife was Jewish, a white woman who I think got involved with the whole thing. She did not like him talking to us. And we were getting along famously, I thought. We agreed. So much of what the Panthers were trying to do in the beginning was completely constitutional. And they were law-abiding. They kept Berkeley and Oakland from burning down during the Martin Luther King riots, ladies and gentlemen. They stopped that. You know, the Black Panthers did. They stopped that whole mess from getting out of control. And, of course, we know the whole story. If you've actually seen what happened, they assassinated, what was his name, Larry?
Bobby, wasn't it Bobby?
Well, Bobby Seale was one of those who was arrested, of course. But I'm trying to think of the fellow, Hamden, I think it was his name, who they killed. I mean, it was almost like a Waco type assassination, the way they killed him in Chicago. So, I mean, they were after these people because they were doing the right thing. And then the Panthers kind of waffled on everything and started fixing breakfast, and the women took over, and it got out of control. And you know how that happens. You know, something that starts out right ends up going way off the tracks. But that was a great interview. But getting back to, you know, what's happening, what we're facing right now, you know, this treaty situation that's coming in very quickly has just recently been approved, ladies and gentlemen, and it's going into effect. You're going to ask, why are they doing this? And, you know, Steve was asking this question because in this case, what you do have is another very large conspiracy. It's been going on for many, many years. We're coming up on the 23rd of April pretty quick here, Steve. Mm-hmm. Let me just basically say what happened on the 23rd of April 40 years ago. 40 years ago, there was an announcement from Health and Human Services by a Ditz, who was the secretary then, her name was Margaret Heckler, working for the Reagan administration, that they had found the probable cause of AIDS. Now, there's a word there that's very important, the probable. They didn't say a probable. Right. They said the probable cause of AIDS. And it's related to one of those old cancer viruses that we've been studying for years. It never came up with anything feasible, called HTLV-3. It actually turned out this was what they had stolen was something from Luc Montagnier's lab. Well, he had sent them some material to look at, and they misappropriated it or stole it, you know, and called it the AIDS virus. So now keep in mind at this point, the Centers for Disease Control can actually do some very, very good when it comes of surveillance. And what they had found out as they went around looking at all these people, they said, this is not an infectious disease. This is a disease of people who are drug addicts who've been shooting drugs for many years, and gay men. Gay men who go to the bathhouses, and it was a very small percentage of gay men, by the way, very small percentage, who were using poppers, which are nitric oxide radical inhalants to smooth ethereal muscles and prolong erections and things like that. And these guys were staying at these bathhouses for 2 or 3 days, drinking, shooting drugs themselves, and they were developing immune deficiency. Yeah. Well, the Centers for Disease Control, Steve, said, this is not an infectious disease. This is a recreational drug disease that we're having a problem with here. And they had come to that conclusion. But you see, the virus hunters had run out of funding. People like Robert Gallup from the National Cancer Institute, Max Essex. Okay, so they needed something to kind of re-spark and refund this. Ronald Reagan was also looking at a problem. People were in the streets because gay men were, and a lot of other people were complaining, stop this disease, government, help us, help us, help us. And they were shouting and creating quite a demonstration. You know how that works. And so Reagan said, well, let's see if we can just take this out of the 1984 election very early in April. And so they it all fell together. And what happened was, on that date, April 23rd, 1984, we're coming up on 40 years now, Anthony Fauci and Robert Gallo broke in and basically took the specimens. You can hear that Judy Mikovits talk about this. She was there. So they could misappropriate this virus to be the cause of AIDS. Okay. Now, everybody who was a scientist looked at this and absolutely improved, right? No. There was no peer review, really worthwhile.
No, not
review.
Really.
Yeah. Right. And less than half of the AIDS patients that they had tested in the scientific study that they'd actually published a week after the press conference, by the way, a week afterwards, nobody got a chance to look at this before this announcement was made. A week after that, less than half of the AIDS patients tested positive for antibody anyway, these so-called AIDS patients. So suddenly, HIV went from becoming a disease of people who are using recreational drugs in the bathhouses and people who shoot drugs for 10 years or 20 years, street drugs. You know, that might affect your immune system, you know, and it does. You know, it's been documented. They used to call it the dwindles for many years when drug addicts would get these. I blew it. Steve, I spent too much time. We'll get back you. Hang on. Be right back. Sorry.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people.
because you can handle the truth.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org. Smash that donate button like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? Like, what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Oh, my love, my darling, I've hungered for your touch.
Great song, man. Great song. I'd love to play some more of it. But, Steve, I cut you off. I didn't get you a chance to answer a little bit. I was talking about that. Friends, if you want to see the film that I put out that shows you that press conference, go to stevestars.substack.com, and you can watch the film for free. It's 2 hours long. It's better than a basketball game. You will see how they do these things. But, Steve, I was just going to say that it was all a fraud. It was never peer-reviewed. Yeah. All of this was a fear, the whole fear process believing that this was an infectious disease that was being spread sexually. It was all damned lies, friends. Yeah. It was all lies. And Fauci got away with this. That's been 40 years now. But anyhow, Steve, I'll back off. But
it sounds very familiar, doesn't it? What works in the past, you should try it in the future. And that's exactly why Fauci did what he did with COVID, because he was successful in fooling everybody with the AIDS. But AIDS, if you look at it, the Acquired Immune Deficiency Syndrome, really fits well with the Hegelian dialectic, problem, reaction, solution. And look how much money was invested, taxpayer money was invested in this fraud here to find a cure for something they already knew what was causing it. And then you look to countries like when they decide to roll out their agenda here, they have to find a pilot study and use a country, find a country that can try this out. Of course, go to a country that is where the people are malnourished. There's malnutrition everywhere. Let's go to Africa and let's drop it off in Africa and see how they handle it with their poor immune systems. It's what they do all the time. Africa is the whipping boy for all these agendas, these drug trial studies, all these agendas. Africa always gets it first, and then it comes to America or comes into Europe first. But I mean, it's so obvious. Their MO, their modus operandi is the same every time, Steve. The same every time. Dump it in Africa. Boom, it's here now. It's there now. Now it's in the United States. Here we go.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, surprisingly enough, that it wasn't but about after 2 or 3 years later that they even actually into the 90s where they started saying African, talking about African AIDS, because originally it wasn't in Africa at all. And just like you said, the malnutrition, the malnourishment and everything like that. I have a friend who is a scientist, Dr. Rodney Richards, who published a paper, and he said, by his analysis, that actually malnutrition was better at treating AIDS patients than AZT. And that was cynical. He said that people actually died faster on AZT than they did from malnutrition in Africa. I mean, and that was how fast they were killing these people. AZT is a DNA chain terminator, friends. What it's designed to do is kill cells. It was a chemotherapy designed for leukemia, considered too toxic for cancer patients. Yep. And that's what they did. They said, we got to do something about it, because the problem with the whole thing with AIDS was that people weren't dying. You know, what was wrong with Magic Johnson? Why didn't he die? I think he did die, didn't he? Oh, no. Yeah, hell no. He never died.
He's alive.
Yeah, he was playing basketball. Yeah, he wasn't on AZT playing basketball with the Lakers and the Dream Team winning championships, friends. No, he found out. He knew what happened. We got to him, and we said, don't take that stuff. Yeah. He doesn't. Now, he's a jock and an entertainer, and he's actually been, you know, paid off to promote a lot of this stuff, too. Sure, sure. But he knows damn well it was a lie. He figured it out early, and he's still alive today and probably very healthy. You know, but what about these people who were shooting drugs for 10 years and gay men in the fast track lifestyle? And like I said, it was only a very small percentage of gay men. But the whole lie about sexual transmission was disproved by Dr. Walter Dowdle, who got a Lifetime Achievement Award from the Centers for Disease Control. When he published his own findings, he said the possibility of HIV being transmitted sexually is equivalent to the odds of being hit by lightning. He didn't say it couldn't happen. He just said it's very, very rare. And it's, you know, that whole thing was created, that lie about heterosexual and sexual transmission was created by a guy that by the name of Redfield, Dr. Robert Redfield. You may remember him recently, head of the CDC during all of this. The same guy was the one that created that lousy lie. Fear. Mm-hmm. See, it's fear programming that they're using on us. I'll back off, Steve. You talk for a little bit here, man.
I'll tell you that AZT is to AIDS as remdesivir is to COVID.
That's right.
That's exactly what you've got here. You got something that's not going to work. It's going to actually cause more harm to the immune system. And my mother was just hospitalized. Actually, she had some other problem going on, arrhythmia, I think, problem. But she had COVID on top of it, and I was hot because I've been teaching my mom all the stuff about masks don't work and the treatments that are proper and not proper. And I said to her, I found out she was actually hospitalized, and I'm down here in Florida, and she's in Indiana. So I'm telling my friend who's up there to kind of keep an eye and give me the feedback, what's going on. Absolutely, absolutely do not allow them to give her remdesivir. We'll throw her into renal failure, multi-system organ failure, and she'll die. I will sue their pants off if they do this. This is not a proper treatment. I've been talking to Dr. Peter McCullough for years now, at least 2 years now. We've talked about what's appropriate, what's not appropriate. That's a killer. Remdesivir is a killer to COVID. And they did not. They actually just pretty much treated the symptoms, did not give her anything, and really actually paid more attention to the cardiac issue. And she's out of the hospital now. But I was serious. I said, I'm flying up there. I will go into court. If she dies, I will sue your pants off, because I can show you the proof that remdesivir is your AZT, basically. It is a killer.
Yeah, it's actually a nucleoside analog, just like AZT. And yeah. We saw that coming, you know, and Fauci turned that entire press conference in the Trump White House Oval Office into an ad for remdesivir with that bitch, excuse my expression, Deborah Birx, and everything. I mean, these people are out of control. Now, just one more point, because I don't want to get too far into this, Steve. I want to have you talk a lot about it. But when you talk about the financing, Reagan said, we are going to come up with this antibody test for to clean up the blood supply, which actually really did need cleaning up. And they were going to, that was basically the reason why they initiated this, a whopping $2 million, $2 million. Yeah, you know what it is now? Every year they add $1 billion to the AIDS budget. AIDS is a rare disease in the United States. Now, more people die of the flu and have been for a long time than AIDS. It went underground in 1992. That's why they had to expand it to Africa. But I'll just finish it up by saying this, that they got they have added $1 billion every year. That's not saying we're going to give you another billion. That is 1 billion, 2 billion, 3 billion, 4 billion, 5 billion, 6 billion. Yep. It is now up to $36 billion every year they're spending on a disease that was never real in the first place. That's how far out of control down the road we are with this stuff. That's how bad it is. Like, we've got the graphs for it too. Dave Rasnick did them on his website, David Rasnick, RASNICK.com. David Rasnick, RASNICK.com. He's got it on his website. But, okay, Steve, I'm backing off, man. I've been talking too much. I want you to be the guest now. Go ahead and talk.
This things like that. And COVID was a great example. I talked about it last night a little bit, that COVID was actually a pilot study used to challenge or remove our First Amendment rights of free speech. No doubt about it. I had the same problem. I'm writing exemption letters, medical or religious exemption letters, to get people to turn into their corporation here because they didn't want to take the jab. They understood this thing is warp speed. I don't know anything that's ever come out of warp speed that ever turned out well, Steve. I mean, think about it. That's kind of scary. Warp speed. It just came out 8-9 months. Here, take it. What if something goes wrong? Well, don't worry about it. You can't sue anybody because under the emergency use authorization, they're held not liable for any kind of damages or harm caused. That sparks a lot of encouragement in me to say, sure, I'll take it. And this forceful that you will take it or else you'll lose your livelihood, your ways of making your way in the world here, your economics. I mean, we're talking total Nazi here. I never thought we'd ever be here, Steve, that we would actually have to defend the rights of our own bodies to say, I will make a decision and decide for myself. But these people have said, we'll make the decision for you. And if you say no, then we'll make it very difficult for you. And until you finally budge and comply, just imagine what's going to happen if they're successful in pulling out the digital currency on us, Steve. We're totally screwed if they pull this digital currency. They'll freeze our accounts. The elite reach of my account said, Steve, you guys didn't take your shots. You have this day to get your shots all done, or we deduct $1,000 every time we have to contact you, or $2,000. We'll bleed you dry until you finally comply. My mother was living in Germany in the communist side and escaped communism. And now she's in America and she's saying, my God, America is turning into the communism I left in Germany. We're getting there.
Yep, absolutely. That's exactly what's happening here. You know, we've got some things coming up, and I was just going to – I sent out this letter from Liberty Council, which is a pretty regular run-of-the-mill conservative organization, Matt Staver. You know, they've had a lot of good cases, though, and they won some good ones in the Supreme Court. But basically, they're following what's happening right now with WHO, World Health Organization. The pandemic agreement establishes the WHO as the world authority by using enforceable language like shall, in this case, shall is legally binding terminology. The document states to implement the provisions in this article, each party shall. The following are key points. from March 13th, just less than a month ago, for a version of the World Health Organization draft of the pandemic. They shall establish, this is about establishing the WHO as the world authority, with 164 uses of legally binding language shall dictating actions of the nations and states, asserting that WHO's control over any risk of international disease, creating digital health passports, there you are, Steve, that can be shared internationally for vaccines, test results, and much more, creating health care as a right in a path to international socialized medicine, demanding equity in healthcare. This is, means that you can't discriminate against anybody by race, religion, sex orientation, gender identity, region, or group identified. I mean, it makes sure that everybody's covered. Requiring parties to exercise authority at community levels, controlling the development and patents, implementing a One Health approach, which means an integrated, unified approach that aims to sustainably balance and optimize the health of people. Demanding standards of control over everything from plants to pets, controlling access to approved medicines and censoring into mainstream treatments, creating the internationally controlled system of official medical laboratories and government-run experiments, censoring disinformation and misinformation, or the truth, Steve. I mean, I go on and on, but I mean, it goes down. These lists, you can find this at L.A., well, it's L Action, L.C.A., LC Action is what it is, lcaction.org, and you can find it there. That's Liberty Council, but I'll probably post this, and maybe Julie or somebody will put it up on the website. You need to see what's going on with this. Friends are coming in with this very, very fast, and this is going to – Donald Trump has already said we will not comply. He's not going with it this time, thank God. But anyhow, Steve, I'll go ahead and – you go ahead and pick it up there.
Yeah, you know, we look back and we, you know, this whole thing started off with GMO, genetically modified crops and things like that. And it started with seeds and, you know, things like that. And now look where we are now. They started the pilot program with GMO, and they're probably still doing that. But we didn't like it. We didn't want any part of it. So we're looking for products that are not GMO. So they, you know, they're using us now as the test pilot here of messenger RNA, not the live attenuated virus vaccines that we grew up with that showed some success, but no, something, you know, Frankenscience out of the blue here. We've never tried this before. We've never used it. This is all a trial. This is all major Frankenstein type science here. Yeah. And given the emergency use authorization and then all the intimidation and the threats if you don't comply. And then that wasn't enough, you know, attacking us. Now they decided to attack our food supply. Let's go after the animal protein. Let's take it out. Let's all inject it with messenger RNA. And that's not enough. Let's go after the plants and vegetation that we eat. I mean, this is so clear to me. This is a direct attack on the American people, the world's people, for an agenda here of depopulation. There's no doubt about it in my mind. That's exactly what they have planned. And then induce, bring out automation, technocracy, and remove a lot of people because you guys breathe too much CO2 out there, which is a noxious, toxic gas, which is heating up the planet. You must go in that equation that Bill Gates gave at his TED speech. Take out this equation, minimize or take out the people, and the CO2 goes down. We save the planet. You've got to go. Steve, you've got to go. I've got to go. And here they are. They're still doing it, and they're not going to give up. The agenda is Agenda 2030, and we're, 6 years away. They are going to ramp it up even faster.
Yeah, we don't stop them, friends. We're going to have to band together all over the world, you know, to get together. And, Steve, you are absolutely right. That's what they're planning on. Remember, you brought up the whole thing with the Georgia Guidestones. This is what the Georgia Guidestones pointed out. These people aren't kidding. They are very serious about doing this. It's going to come down to us either waking people up and resisting it very quickly, or they're going to step in. And a lot of stupid people are going to follow them because they do it every time. They're not learning. And friends, I'm not going to put people down that aren't paying attention. But the fact is, this is our job as the media to get you really informed so that you know what's going on. I worked in the mainstream media. They're the worst people that have been cultivated to be puppets and idiots. I mean, they used to be some pretty good folks. I worked with a lot of good people that I like, but the reality is they are not telling you the truth. They're damn liars. And they're almost more dangerous, really, than the people who are conspiring to do all these things, Steve, because they're the ones who are perpetrating the lies, and they're the ones who are the outlets of all this sewage of bad information.
Yep. Yep. Well, you know, Klaus Schwab he told us, you know, these people actually tell us what they're going to do.
Yep.
They really do. They tell us, they give us a heads up. We're going to do this, we're going to do this and this. I mean, look at Klaus Schwab's speech, the Great Reset, the Great Restart. And your Georgia Guidestones, would it say 350 million population worldwide, that they do a restart and kill off all those people and start over again to regrow and restart over the world with a population of 350 million. The Georgia Guidestones, I believe, said 350 million. That's their goal, their restart. And they're going to be the ones who do the restart because they've got the antidotes. They've got everything on their side. They've got protein stored up. These elites have food lockers and storage meat lockers you wouldn't believe. And they've got their bunkers. They're all set for all this to kill off humanity, and they will be the ones who come out after it's all over and restart the planet.
Yeah, these people are absolutely insane. I say they're the first to go, in my opinion. Let's line them up and say, you know, you want to insert this kind of a agenda, you volunteer first. You came up with your own idea. We're going to let you have your – you're going to be the first participants in removing yourself. And probably after about 2,000 or 3,000 of them are dead, they'd all change their tune, I'm sure. But, you know, these people do need to be held to Nuremberg Code laws is what has to happen. And what they're doing, and, you know, of course, there's some other stuff we've been looking at, too. We find out that so many of these people in the government never signed their honoring a constitutional oath documents. They never did, basically. And this is one of the things that doesn't seem like a lot, but when you start yanking out the paperwork and saying, hey, Mayorkas never basically agreed to his constitutional oath in writing, you know, you can start showing these people up for who they really are. They think that because they didn't sign, they're not obligated. And we're going to say, because you didn't sign, we know who you are. We know you're not an American citizen and should not be in authority here because you have not taken that oath seriously and you have reneged on every possibility of following through with it. All right, Steve, be right back.
Rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Hey, welcome back. We're going to get right back into it. You know, kind of a fast moving show today. Steve Elkins, my guest, who also does Off the Beaten Path here. You know, I want to get to James in Vancouver real quick. James, sure. Let's get a quick comment. And then, Steve, I want you to kind of finish it up. So I've talked a lot and I want you to have your time. James, go ahead, buddy.
Good evening, good afternoon. These guys that you're talking about, just look to the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the Pentagon. That's where they are. And what you do is you do the naming and the shaming. So I'll call out this Charles Q. Brown Jr., okay, and let him know that we know what he's up to and his buddies. Back to you for your comment.
Yeah, they're a big part of that. And also the administrative branch. These are the people who are senior executive services who are still around. Yeah, these people are not compliant to anything legal. And that's where the big problem is, a good part of that as well.
Yeah. It's an army job. I mean, you know, the whole lockdown thing, that's all a military thing. So I'll let you guys go. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, James. I wish we had some more time because I like your comments. Steve, go ahead, buddy.
Next time.
Well, you know, you mentioned the Pentagon. James in Vancouver mentioned the Pentagon, and we can go a little deeper than that. I'm scratching my head. My grandfather was a brigadier general in the Army, served in several wars, and this queer agenda that is being embraced by the Pentagon is just, I couldn't believe it, what's happening. My grandfather would be very upset, dedicating his whole life to serving in the military, a career man, to see the Pentagon go queer. It is clearly weakening our military, and we all see it, and it continues to be funded and continues to be embraced. And I guess we don't care about being a world superpower anymore, because we certainly are not. Our military is very divided, just as this country is very divided. Our military is very divided on this whole issue. And again, also forcing the vaccinations on their troops there, you know, or will kick you out of the military, give you a dishonorable discharge, using that Nazi philosophy on you to comply. We have a very weak military. I don't care how much money you throw at the military to beef up the DOD, the Department of Defense. It's not going to matter. It's not going to matter if people are divided. And look at this. Let's look at the money we're wasting in Ukraine right now. And, you know, people are thinking, oh, you know, if they have more money, they can win against Russia. Well, no. They don't. They've lost their manpower. Everything is going south for them. Self-esteem. They're losing all their people. They're having to go down and get children, basically children soldiers to fight, and retirees and stuff. It's a failure. But it's the same old, you know, theory of, you know, using a fear to have people drop their guard and to comply with something that's totally nonsense. I mean, you and I were just talking here about a good T-shirt idea for RBN, facts matter. How about that? Facts matter. Yeah, they really do. Facts do matter. They do to me. I try to use logic on everything, not only what I read each and every day and what you send me and other people send me. I try to use logic and look at all sides of the equation here, but facts really do matter. But the mainstream media doesn't believe that, and Washington thinks you're an idiot. They think you're stupid, and they can pull one over on you. And for many people, they can get away with that, but not this listening audience here.
No, we're not going to let them get by our people. That's why we're here. That's why RBN is here, friends. You know, we've got so much to tell you about these things that have been happening, but most of you already know. We've got to get this information out. Get the links, send them out, talk to people, get a T-shirt like we're talking about, Facts Matter. You know, I'll post that Liberty Council Action on the page there, and you'll be able to look at that, circulate it around. We got to stop this treaty coming in, friends. We got a lot of things that are getting ready to happen. It's going to be a hot summer, and there are going to be a lot of problems. Hope you're enjoying Eclipse Day. There's the Rocky Victory Dance music. We got to go. Steve, thanks for joining me. Steve Elkins' show, Off the Beaten Path, here on Sunday nights right on RBN. I'll be back next Monday. And in the meantime, stay tuned to RBN, right?
Right. A pleasure to be here. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know shilajit by other names: shilajit, momio, momi, mami, mineral pitch, asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.